بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم.
Zakat is only for the poor, the needy, those employed to administer its funds, and those whose hearts are being reconciled, and those in bondage and in debts and in the path of Allah, and for the traveler. This is ordained from Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing and full of wisdom. Ziyad ibn Haris al-Suda'i radiyallahu anhu was seated in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was some discussion about sending an army against his people, those that oppose Islam and pose a threat to Islam. Then the right thing is to defend Islam and eliminate them. So Ziyad ibn Haris suggested to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, allow me to write a letter to them. Inshallah, these people will accept Islam without any struggle and without any confrontation." He wrote the letter and they accepted Islam readily. Rasulullah was pleased at this and he said, "Akha Suda' al-Muta'u fi qawmihi." Suda'i is a person that he is obeyed and loved by his people. He says, "I was seated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when someone asked about zakat." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that the distribution of zakat, Allah Ta'ala has left it not to the discretion of a Nabi or any person. He himself showed the avenues of zakat. Hence, the avenues of zakat are divinely appointed and ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not as per the discretion and the judgment of any person. The word sadaqat, when it's used in a general sense in the Quran Sharif, would refer to zakat. Innama as-sadaqatu lil-fuqara. Then zakat is not just a charity, it is a specific type of a charity meant for a certain class of people at a certain time. So zakat has got its own definition, and we need to differentiate between zakat and the other types of sadaqat and lillah that we give out. So zakat is only for the poor and the needy, because zakat is an obligation from the five obligations and farz. So we need to understand what it is, and we need to understand how it will be accomplished, and this farz, this obligation, will be removed from our responsibility. So Allah Ta'ala says it's only for the poor and the needy. Two classes of people, one is called the fuqara, the other called the masakeen. The fuqara, plural of faqir, is with reference to that person who doesn't own any wealth. He doesn't have any wealth whatsoever. He is called a faqir, plural fuqara. And masakeen, plural miskeen, is with reference to such a person who has wealth, but that wealth is not sufficient. It is less than the nisab of zakat. So for example, zakat is payable on 200 dirhams, and the rate presently is approximately 6,000 rands. So if a person has less than 6,000 rands, then he can become a recipient of zakat. 6,000 rand, that is above his debts and his other requirements, so he has less than this, then he becomes a recipient of zakat. Miskeen doesn't mean that if he has less than the equivalent of zakat, then it is permissible for him to beg and ask people. No. what it means that if he is given zakat, then the zakat will be valid. But it is not right for that person to go around begging, I need zakat and I need some assistance. As long as he is able to work and to see through his requirements for that day, he has that amount of wealth, or he has the strength to do something and to sustain life for that day, then it is not permissible for him to go around begging. Yes, if he doesn't even have that amount of wealth where he can conduct some business, or he doesn't have that amount of strength and skill that he can do some work and make a living out of it, then he can and he may ask for zakat and some type of assistance. So the poor and the needy, two different distinct classes of people. Then the third class, وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا, those appointed to administer its funds, to receive, to go and collect zakat, as it is a requirement in an Islamic state that the state will appoint people to go and acquire the zakat and administer its funds. So this class of people that are appointed to administer the funds of zakat, it is permissible that zakat be used to remunerate them for their services. They go up to different people, see the zakat, bring it back to the state. So for the service that they have offered, they could be remunerated from the zakat itself. Even though they may be wealthy in their own capacity, but for the fact that they have administered the funds, so they can receive remuneration from zakat. But this is only applicable to an Islamic state, because an Islamic state assumes the guardianship of the subjects, and the subjects will be poor, will be wealthy. So because they are the guardian, so they have to look for the interest of their subjects, and as though the subjects have appointed them to be their guardian and their representative. When they become the representative and the guardian of the poor, so they will see out for, they will serve and they will work for the poor. And when they are working for the poor, so as though the poor is paying them for the services that they are offering for the poor. Hence, وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا, those that will be appointed to administer these zakat funds. And this, as I say, it's only applicable to an Islamic state, because in a non-Islamic state, no person can say that I am the guardian of the poor. This is a divine appointment that Allah Ta'ala has made the Amir the guardian of the poor. When he is Amir of the guardian, he is Amir and the guardian of the poor, then he's going to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala that did you look and did you take care of your subjects? Then the fifth class, وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and those whose hearts are being reconciled. So many people can come under this category of reconciliation, those whose hearts are to be reconciled. For example, there is a person that has recently accepted Islam. He was well established in his own environment. Now that he's accepted Islam, obviously he's going to be persecuted and harassed by his people. So he needs to shift on and transfer and move from the place that he is living and get into an Islamic friendly environment and re-establish himself. So such people were allowed, it was allowed that zakat be given to them to re-establish themselves and to reconnect themselves to a new environment where they can be established and they can practice the Islam freely. So this group was also allowed assistance from zakat, even though they may have been poor, even though they may have been wealthy in their own way. But now that they have shifted and they have moved on to Islam, they need to be re-established and re-strengthened. So we can strengthen them and support them with zakat. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, both are of the opinion that this was the case at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah Ta'ala has given Islam the strength. Islam has been given that magnanimity and the strength to stand on its own. Hence, it doesn't need to assist this class of people any longer. Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi say that this command and this law prevails and is subject to circumstances. If these circumstances is resurfaced, then this law will also be applicable, that this class of people may be reconciled and assisted, supported with zakat. Wafir riqab, and the sixth class is those in bondage, that is those slaves that have a written contract with their masters of freedom for a certain amount of money. For example, the master says to him that you pay me 1,000 rands and you will be freed. So he's got a written contract with his master that he pays this amount and he will gain his freedom. But he doesn't have that wealth, so he can be supported with zakat. He can be given zakat, he receives the zakat and frees himself. Well, gharimin, and the seventh class, or the sixth class, is those that are in debts. In other words, he has assets, but his debts are greater than his assets, his zakatable assets. So his debts are even greater than his zakatable assets. So he can be supported with zakat, that he may relieve himself from the burden of debts. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and those that are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Path of Allah ta'ala is not a general word. Here it refers to those people that are fighting in the cause of Allah ta'ala. They may be wealthy, but they cannot continue fighting because they do not have the necessary equipment. That equipment is quite expensive. They don't have that amount to buy that equipment so that they can continue engaging in jihad. So they can be supported with zakat as well, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Many people have misconstrued this, and they say فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ is a general word, so anything that will amount to فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This is wrong, and it is misleading. Otherwise, it will mean that anything that will amount to فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ can be supported with zakat. For example, constructing of a masjid or a madrasa, or for example, supporting the deceased with kafan, dafan, etc. So all these things may be counted as fi sabilillah, but this zakat cannot be used in this avenue. Well, the ulama have explained clearly, it is with reference to that ghazi, that mujahid, that he is out or wants to go out, but he doesn't have the necessary equipment to go on fighting and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, when one is discharging the zakat, then the important requirement of transfer of ownership, there must be the transfer of ownership. If you are building a masjid, then there is no transfer of ownership. Who is the owner? Building a madrasa, then there is no transfer of ownership. Similarly, purchasing a kafan, making the arrangements of dafan of a deceased Muslim, then who is the owner? There is no owner, so zakat cannot be correct and valid. If there is no ownership, there must be some ownership in zakat. And the last person, that is the last avenue of zakat, is a traveler. He's abroad at home, he may be a wealthy person, but he's abroad and he doesn't have the wealth to accomplish his safar and return home. So he can also be supported with zakat. Faridatan min Allah. This is an obligation ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One important aspect about zakat is when paying zakat, one needs to see his own area first. If the people around his area are deserving of zakat, then he should look after them first before he can move it across. Yes, if he needs to move it across because the need across is even greater. For example, people that are living in Joburg are much more needy than the people living in Durban, for example, then he can send it across because the need is greater there. Hence, the priority is that he should spend it upon a Muslim that is from his own area, like it is reported in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِمْ. The zakat is taken from a wealthy Muslim and paid to a poor, deserving Muslim. So it must be a Muslim, and it is preferable that it should be from within the area, unless the person across is more deserving or is a close relative, then you can pass the zakat across to that person that is more deserving. In both situations, zakat will be valid. You will not say that he has passed the zakat across, therefore the zakat is not valid. But in the line of priority, this is incorrect. Wallahu alimun hakeem. Allah Ta'ala is all knowing and full of wisdom.